Hey, this is Craig Shoemaker, host of the Polymorphic Podcast over at polymorphicpodcast.com and a new podcast called Pixelate, where we talk all about user experiences, which can be found over at getpixelated.com. That's getpixel8ed.com. Now, today I'm joined by Grant Hinkson, Director of Visual Design over at Infragistics. And Grant, you know a little something about user experiences, don't you?
I do. It's something I live pretty much every day.
Now, today we're talking about Potter, which is a new podcatcher built in WPF by this crazy guy, Josh Smith. How did he rope you into this?
Well, Josh, as you know, used to work for Infragistics. Then he went out on his own, did some WPF consulting work for a while. And now he's back with us on our user experience group. And so, Josh is a really passionate guy. He was like, hey, man, I've got this really cool application called Potter. Check it out. And I'd love to get you to skin this thing, you know, so his connection to me through Infragistics is really what brought us together.
Now, I've seen some of the screenshots that you've done, and it looks really cool. Tell me a little bit about what it was like to go and skin this application.
Sure. Well, first of all, the screenshots that I think you've seen have been preliminary, so I always put that standard disclaimer out. I'm not finished.
Yeah, but they looked really good. So.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad. Skinning this application is pretty similar to any of the WPF work that we've done internally up to this point. And there are like really two different types of skinning that I do. One is for the controls that we ship, things like the XAMN ribbon or the data grid, something like that. So that's control skinning. And then there's application skinning, which is a little bit of a different beast. And Potter falls into that latter category. What's interesting, though, is that Josh has created this concept of, what does he call it, structural skinning for the application. Does that sound right?
Yes.
And so he's taken the concepts of control skinning and applied them to the application. And like if I was working on, a simple example in WPF is the combo box. There are certain parts within the template of the combo box that have to be there, and they have this fixed name, and the developer puts them in and says, I'm expecting a stack panel with this name to be included in the template. And the designer knows that. He sees it and says, hey, I've got to leave this in here, otherwise the thing breaks. So Josh did the exact same thing, except with the application. He put a few parts in there with names that had to be there. So, that's one level of skinning the Potter app.
So it sounds like it really took the whole idea of an element tree seriously, and just I don't care if this is a whole application, I'll just treat it like what it is in WPF.
Yeah, absolutely. So the essence of the application is defined. That's the way it works for a control. A button's essence is defined by the developer. Then it's up to a designer to attach a look to that. So the developer knows there's going to be an is mouse over. He knows that something should happen when the control is clicked. So there's a click event. Then the designer responds to those property changes and to the events like click. And so Josh did the same thing with Potter. He said, this is the essence of what a podcast application should do. There should be a list of podcasts, and each podcast should have an image and a name and a description. And somebody's going to want to select one of these, so there should be a selected podcast. And then with the selected podcast, they're going to want to play it. So I need a command called play and pause and stop and, all of those sort of things. That's what he thought through, and he baked those into the application. And then I can just take advantage of those without having to code and just go pure designer mode.
So you think, so the designer-developer workflow worked in this case?
Yeah, it did. Just like any of the previous cases, though, there's a back and forth. I've talked about this process before, where in the beginning you come together as a team and you brainstorm the application or the control, and you talk about what you think your needs are, and then you kind of split ways, and the developer goes over into his little corner and starts coding away based on that initial conversation. I'm going to add this property, I'll add this event, and the designer's doing his mock-ups. So there's that separation, and then you come back together at a point when the control is actually functioning or the application is functioning, and then you start applying your skin or your design, however, whatever it looks like. And all of a sudden you find out, hey, I need another property because I can't react in a certain way. I need another event fired when this happens. And that's the designer developer workflow that that I've experienced before with control development here at Infragistics, or with sample applications that we've done for the product, and the exact same experience that Josh and I went through on Potter.
Now, one of the features that I liked, I don't know best, but I was really impressed by, was that you took a random sampling of colors from the image that's associated to a podcast and used that as the colors for the gradient in the background of the application.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of that. I think it's a really cool thing. You know, the longer you live with a project, the deeper into it you get, and you're like, oh, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. And, you know, I even talked in a blog post about how when you're starting from scratch, that just clean canvas, it's kind of daunting sometimes, because there's so many directions you can take something. And as I've gotten closer to the end of this process, I've had a more clear vision of where I want to take it. And then you start, you know, the creativity really starts flowing. You're like, how do I tie the look of the application to the actual podcast that I'm listening to? And so I wrote this, what I think is a really cool converter. You just pass it an image, and it takes a random sampling of the pixels, then it averages the value and returns a color. And I then take that color and apply it to a background fill, you know, that has an opacity mask. So the application kind of becomes the essence of the podcast that you're listening to.
That's just too cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's this Philips TV, I think it was Philips. It was like an LCD introduced a few years ago that had this light panel behind it, and the panel would kind of shift hue based on the program that you're watching. And, you know, kind of to do that same thing, just give create an ambience around the image that you're actually watching. So it's maybe not a novel concept, but it was at least a novel implementation.
Well, and it just definitely adds that, you know, certain things about user experience are just subtleties. And if you can add that tiny bit of subtlety to make people feel more comfortable, or make them feel, I don't know, more relaxed or more at home with how they're interacting with a computer or anything else, sometimes that can make all the difference in the world.
I think so too. And, you know, I watch friends who have problems interacting with applications. You know, I'm that tech support guy. I'm sure people listening to this podcast are that tech support guy for their friends and family. And I try to pay attention to the problems they're having and think, that's interesting, because it's not a problem that I encounter as somebody who spends their entire day, their work day and their personal day, in front of a computer. And so what I've tried to do with Potter is kind of look at it as just an application for experimentation, and, you know, try things that I might not do on a normal basis. You know, one example is the way I'm allowing somebody to add a podcast. So instead of having a big button that says add podcast, I've placed a plus sign within the same horizontal line as the previous and next buttons for the podcasts. So you immediately recognize the forward and previous arrows. You know, that's just a common concept that I think most people recognize. But within that same area, you're like, oh, there's one more and it has a plus sign on it. Maybe I'll check it out. You know, I've even watched my mom be scared of clicking something. You know, what's going to happen if I click this? So instead of even forcing somebody to click that plus sign to figure out what it is, when you mouse over, the little thing just slides out harmlessly and says, here's a box for you to add your podcast. And, you know, Josh added a cool thing where if there's a podcast URL on your clipboard, it automatically adds itself to the text box there. So if you're ready to add, it's there in the text block, then you just click add and you're good to go. So I think it's pretty cool. And of course it remains to be seen how others use it and find it, but that's the experimentation side of things here for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you want to check out Potter, go to tinyurl.com/2NN, that's N as in Nancy, 2NNG7W. Grant, thanks a lot for your time.
Sure. It's been a pleasure, Craig.
See you.